I read a newspaper account that men ought to be careful this time of year making their wives mad. See, one man was being a little bit ornery, and his wife had asked him to fix the mower and mow the grass, and he wasn't in the mood for it and wouldn't get at it, didn't want to do it. And one day he came home and found her out in the yard with a comb and a pair of scissors cutting the grass. He got a little mad as he recounts this story in the newspaper because she was pointing out his obvious problem. And he decided to teach her a lesson, and he walked in the house and he came back out with a toothbrush and handed it to her and said, "When you're done cutting the grass, make sure you sweep the driveway." He went on to say, "It's now been 3 weeks since I woke up, and the doctors say I'll walk again, but with a limp." Don't make them mad. Let us give with Christian heart and goodness and charity as the ushers come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all here today. It's good to see you're awake. I've been a little worried about the sleepiness. It's that kind of a day, isn't it? Even though. So let's wake up a little bit and let's be cheery that it ain't snowing, although it did snow this week, yay, and it ain't freezing rain and we was able to get here. Amen?
Amen.
Joys and concerns. Last Sunday night, I got to go over to the Baptist church and share in the Christian sing-along, the hymn sing-along for Christmas, and it was great. We had a good time, and those were there, Diane and Bud and Shirley. You guys were there, and it was a wonderful evening. And so that just wound me up tight for the Christmas season. So I'm glad to be here this morning. Others this morning, joys or concerns. We also have, what was it, yesterday? Day before Friday. We have a new addition in our family. My cousin welcomed their child, Bryson something or another Fogle, into the world. Little boy, 8 pounds and some odd ounces. Yes, we Leathermans grow him big, ready to start. So he came in, and ladies, she went into labor. I got the phone call at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 12 o'clock, it was over. I don't know how in the world that happened. So we're proud to have that, and he'll be here sometime in the not-too-distant future. Others this morning, joys or concerns? Say amen if you're still with it.
Amen.
You should be joyful that you're in church this morning. If not, then let us move forward and put our heads together, our hearts together, our minds together, and find ourselves humbled in God's presence in prayer. And if you have the unspoken request as we bow forward, just hand up and down. Thank you. Father, in this quiet moment, we ask for meditation. We ask that we turn our faces to you and begin to seek you here today and your riches and your glory and your everything that you would have for us. And be humbled. Be thankful. Fall on our knees. And come to know you a little better. It is within these walls that we are family. It is outside of these walls that we show it. It is within these walls that we remember Christmas time. It is outside of these walls that we show it. Let us be awakened to that, Father. Let us be thankful for the things that are given to us, and let us be eternally thankful for the things that are taken. Father, join our hearts together here today. Guide us, protect us, keep us. Move us in your spirit. We have had a week to put behind us of trials and tribulations, but certainly of joy as well. Let us join our hearts together and remember those who are not there with us today because of sickness, traveling, whatever the reason. Let us be in prayer for them. Let us be in prayer for those who search out this season lost, not knowing what it truly means. Pray for their awakening, Father. Pray for those who watch over, keep, and protect us. Thankful for the opportunity to see a new hospital dedicated to the lifting and care and healing of so many. Let it be blessed, Father. To those that teach, to those that preach, to those that sit and listen, may all glories be abounded upon them. Join our hearts together here today, Father. And let us pray, ever mindful of your Son and his teachings and his causes. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. It is time for yet the Advent reading, and I don't know which way they're going to light, so I'll let them figure that out. But today we've asked the Eckstein family to come and share with us. And the whole brood.
Surely God is our salvation. We will trust and will not be afraid. God is our strength and our might. With joy we draw water from the wells of salvation. Give thanks to God, call on God's name, and make known God's deeds among the nations. Shout aloud and sing of joy for joys, for great is our midst is the Holy One. With joy we watch for signs of God's coming. Isaiah 12:2-6. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In the wonderful day you will sing. Thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the world what he has done. Oh, how mighty is he. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise of joy. For great is the Holy One, one of Israel, who lives among you. We will light again the first two Advent candles, the candles of hope. The first purple one candle and the candle of peace is the second candle. And as we light the third candle of joy, I guess that'd be pink.
Let's try the pink one. What the heck?
Join the heavens of the earth and praise God's holy name with joys and expectations. We watch for the signs of God's coming. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus. Amen.
How in the world can you not fall in love with Christmas when you see children like that? Hey, it's just a blessing. Since you're all being too quiet today, open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 1. Of course, we're going to do some more of the Christmas story. Luke chapter 1, starting in the 26th verse. And when you found it, if you are able to, stand for the reading of his word. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting might this be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have been found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you've said." Then the angel left her. May God add this blessing to our heart as we prepare ourselves for the message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, surround us with your Spirit, your Holy Spirit. Wake us up this morning, Father. Let us receive the message. Let us set aside the labor. Let us see yet the retelling of the story of Christmas. Open our hearts that we may hear, Father, these words which come from you, and be blessed as they fall upon our ear. Now in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I neglected one thing. So before we start into the message, as I get a little wound up, we need to say happy birthday to somebody in this sanctuary who happens to be sitting in the back. So we should all turn around and say happy birthday, Marge. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday, Marge. Suddenly different. This is a weird sermon, and I'm going to tell you that up front. I've gone a little bit into a different angle, but go through it with me and understand where I come from. It was 5:29 a.m. in the morning, while the sky was still dark, and suddenly alarms began to ring, and warning bells began to go off everywhere. Buzzers here, clangs here, lights here, foretelling that something was coming. 5:29 in the morning, probably actually 5:28. The world, for the most part, was still asleep, sleeping quietly, unaware that it was to be suddenly different. A change was coming. An unfortunate change, but one nonetheless that would shake the very foundations. The skies were still dark that morning, and a group of men had labored for the past 6 years to reach this moment. Now, I can imagine what the mood was among them. Some of them were probably laughing, giggling, patting each other onto the back, in nervous energy. Maybe taking that last sip of coffee, having a bite off a snack before the moment arrived, watching to see what would happen, waiting for the final preparations. Finally, they all found their positions. They all sat down. The bells were quieted and a checklist began. And man would call off and somebody would answer the check. And after the checklist was run through and called out, everything was quiet till the countdown began. Everyone held their breath. Everyone waited, not sure of what they had just accomplished. This was brand new. No one was to know what to expect. And suddenly in the quiet, at 5:29 a.m., light split the sky. A button was pushed and life was changed suddenly. From the basin of the Jimenez Mountains in New Mexico, a white blaze stretched from the ground to the sky, lighting up the entire state. In that moment, a fireball moving at 360 feet per second until it reached 30,000 feet in the sky was so bright that residents that day actually said they thought the sun had rose twice. In fact, it was documented that the blast was seen 120 miles away. 5:29 a.m., July 16, 1945, the atomic age began, and everything was suddenly different. Suddenly. And yet nobody knew it. How sudden a change comes that we don't often see. It was weird as I prepared for this sermon. It was strange to me where I was being led. And I got to tell you, I was led to think about that story. I'm not here to debate the use of that or weaponry or warfare in general. I'm not here to debate what that bomb was but anything short of how our lives are affected yet today and the certainty of it. We are suddenly different from one moment. How do I know? How do I know what I was thinking right? Because it wouldn't leave me alone. It wouldn't let me be. And I began to wonder to myself exactly what direction I'm going to take. And I grabbed the Bible and I sat and I read and I reread and I read Mary's story. And I realized that in quiet darkness, without the world knowing it yet, she was suddenly different. Let's begin to see Mary again. Yes, we're going to tell this story all over again. We're going to talk about that same old story. And I'm telling you what, I'm getting tired of people saying, well, it's the same old story. Yes, thank you. There's comfort in that. Amen. There's comfort in coming forward to this, knowing that while she was suddenly different, it is still the same story as it was 2,000 years ago. To right this very minute, it is still the same sudden difference in our lives. It is still the same story. How comforting is that? To walk around and see Christmas in that view, in comfort. Makes you want to wrap up in a blanket, doesn't it? Find your little scary blanket. We look at Mary again and her suddenly different life. Here was a girl who lived in a village that hadn't even been named in ancient text because it was worthless. Nazareth. If you go back and read, and I actually got a chance to do something that I've never thought about. That Nazareth wasn't really mentioned in ancient writings until it began to appear in conjunction with the birth of our Savior. It was a little spot on the map. It was a little do-nothing town. It was a little obscure village. If you want, it was from the wrong side of the tracks. If you were from Nazareth, you were what? You're from Nazareth? I'm surprised you can tie your own sandal. It's the truth. So far that the prophet Nathanael even quoted, can nothing good come from Nazareth? This little simple village. It had no purpose. It had no effect on life. It was on the outskirts of everything. It was nothing. As a matter of fact, in studying it, I even found that Nazareth was so insignificant that even after the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, even thousands of years later, in a National Geographic picture from 1920, they still did everything they did the way they did when Jesus was born. They still carried water in pots to be washed, to do their work in. They still relied on with everything within the village. The stonemason, the butcher, the carpenter, the weaver, the wool maker, the families, the quarrels, the strifes, the healing, the sickness, all of it existed within Nazareth. And yet it was still discounted. It had a life, and in it were two people, specially noted, obviously, Joseph and Mary, engaged to be married. We learned last week the first step taken is what? The announcement. My son will marry this girl. Takes you back for a moment, doesn't it? When you made the announcement, I love her, I'm going to marry her. Or she said, he asked, okay. We learn that the announcement has been made, but we stop now and we look at little Mary, lest we forget who she really was. She was somewhere between 13 and 15 years old. Little Mary. She's young. Very young. But by that account, by that standard, it was time for her to seek out marriage. And by all accounts, if you read it correctly, if you go back and read through the text where she's married, where she's mentioned, Mary was beautiful. Olive skinned, dark hair. Big eyes, full of wonder, looking at the world, dark, a beautiful young girl, and alert and smart. How do you know she was smart? Because the Bible tells us she paid attention to God. In this little nothing town of Nazareth, way over here, moved away from everything, this girl lived. Girl. Mary. We know that she was living her life for God and correctly if we take another look at verse 28, where it says, the angel said to her, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. How would you like to hear them words spoken about to you? How would you like to have yourself set so way, so in line with God and His Word that somebody would say to you, the Lord is with you? You expect to hear those kind of words spoken about great prophets and those that are adorned properly and the rich people and this little beautiful girl from the town of Nazareth, wrong side of the tracks, suddenly different. Because an angel has stopped to see her. Amazing. Absolutely stunning. Greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And so now this young girl is suddenly going to become a woman. Chuck Swindoll this past week described something that he had read as an account of what Mary and Joseph must have been like. Let's see if we can see it. Joseph was a carpenter. No doubt his little business was probably not too far away. And Mary probably pranced there on oftentimes in front of Joseph. Maybe even went in and jumped up on a stool or something. Sat down on a table and kicked her legs back and forth while she talked to him ramblingly. Within the smell of a wood workshop, you can smell the cedar chips and see the sawdust on the floor and hear the tools as they worked against wood to shape it. And there sat Mary watching Joseph without a care in her world. I'm going to marry him. I have been pledged to him, the carpenter. Things are good. Her life is now suddenly different. She's called forth. She's prancing about, no doubt preparing for a wedding, no doubt looking ahead as to what the world will offer her as she puts on her finest gown, as she prepares to go forward throughout the Jewish traditions. She has no idea what lays in store until we see the angel come to her and talk to her yet again. And in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled, the girl gone, the woman now. And wondered what kind of greeting this might be. First of all, let's think for a minute. If an angel appeared to me, if Gabriel appeared to me, and looked at me and said, the Lord would like to talk to you. After they picked me up off the floor and brought me back to existence, then maybe I wouldn't be quite as scared. But Mary became troubled and wondered about the greeting. She didn't fear. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Right then and there. suddenly different. And something as quick as a flash changed. And the world will be suddenly different. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Amen. Our day is coming, Gentiles. Our Savior is being set up to be born to a little girl in a know-nothing town of Nazareth. And in an instant, we're suddenly different. We're suddenly different. When you look at the cross and you look at the manger beneath it, we had this pin given out a while back. Somebody gave it to me. I think somebody here gave it to me. The cross with the manger underneath of it, suddenly different. I remember what it was like to be suddenly different. I remember those changes. I come home one day. I get an announcement. In a funny way, in the middle of what was it? July? I don't know. I sat down in the chair. She handed me a Father's Day card. You've been cleaning the oven again? It's not Father's Day. Open the card, dummy, and read it. And the announcement to me was, Happy Father's Day, with a little handwritten note from her that said, Here we go. Hang on tight. I was suddenly different. I was not Paul, the tractor-loving idiot. I was not Paul, the let me go out in the shop and work until dark comes up and goes away again. I was not Paul, the I'm going to go and do what I want to do anymore. I was Daddy. In an instant, I read a card and I said, what? She said, you're going to be a father. Oh, really? Nonetheless, my world was suddenly different. Each one of you experiencing that, remember when your world became suddenly different. It's a change, isn't it? Say amen. Amen. It's not the same anymore. And the world changes a lot, not for the better, as I read at the beginning. But in this instant, in this girl, in this Nazarene, in this unassuming young woman now, the world will be suddenly different and better for it. The story right here at the beginning of Jesus' birth helps to see our own story suddenly different. If you've accepted, and you have, Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your world became suddenly different instantly. And the world didn't know it yet, but began to see it. He set this up so that we may remember constantly the comforting story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's birth through this little girl from Nazareth, so that our world would be suddenly different and better for it. Amen. I can't remember what it was like to see Christmas the way I used to. Because for me, seeing Christmas was like, man, I got to go to Walmart again. Now it's, let's go look at lights and let's sing Christmas songs and let's go here and hear them sing and let's watch this Christmas special and let's talk about the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And this morning, do you know what we did while we were getting ready for church? Me and Wally whistled Christmas hymns because I've been teaching him how to whistle, and it was great. Christmas! Suddenly different. For the better. Something changed in us forever. Something changed in whatever time it was, and I don't know. Actually, I know most of all of your stories. Something changed. And nobody saw it at first. But they did later. We went to the office Christmas party last night, the D.L. George hoedown over there at the Landis Tool when it was a big feed, and I actually wore a coat and tie. And people would walk up to me and go, that's the preacher Paul. And everybody would come up to me and go, I want to come to your church. Well, here, come here. Let me give you a card. Thanks to Wendy, she brought it. I was suddenly different. Now the world sees it. Mary was suddenly different. And the world saw it. The birth and Savior, the birth of our Savior makes everything suddenly different. Who doesn't want to retell that story over and over again? And remember it, and look at it, and see it, and love it. The story even goes on. We see that not only has she promised it, not only did we read on that she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel left her. Not only that, she went to see Elizabeth. Verse 39, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeteth Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you would bear. Suddenly different. Beautifully said. Elizabeth goes on to say, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Amen to that verse. We should be saying that verse. Amen to you. Blessed are you who will believe what the Lord has said he will do and accomplish it. You will be suddenly different. I know that when I let off with the story of the first atomic bomb blast, it caused you to rub your chin, but it's the truth. Things in this world make us suddenly different. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. It caused life to change. It caused the way we see things to become unique. It becomes different. It caused us, when we became suddenly different, to change what we wanted out of our life. My Uncle Leroy Baker is the hair cutter in Hagerstown. Charlie goes to him. I think there's a couple others that might do. My Uncle Leroy has known me all of my life. And when I became suddenly different, he said to Charlie straight, good luck on keeping that boy in church in the pulpit on a Sunday morning when the tractor shows are going on. I'm here. I had that desire to change, an ever-increasing need for His will, for His wants. In an instant, we were suddenly different. And that is what Christmas means next, as we have looked at it. It means humility. It means that we look forward to doing the thing that we didn't have to do. It means that we have become suddenly different, and we accept it, and we show it, and we love it. We see the impact of Mary choosing that leads us to Him, to His grace, to His side, to proclaim Him as the King and Savior of our life. Again, hear these words. Mary's magnificent song of praise. And Mary said, and I will go through this slowly, lest we forget the story. Starting in verse 46, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Her song of absolute praise to a God who remembered the little girl in the little town that became a woman, that gave birth to our Christ. Suddenly different. As we approach this week, as we look at this week, we need to be aware of it. As we approach this time for the birth of our Savior, we need to be aware that it was suddenly different. What has happened never happened before. What has been raised up was never seen before. What has given us hope and strength was never seen before until this moment, and things were suddenly different. As you view the manger, as you view the statues that you'll see, Mary and Joseph, stop to think as we prepare for his birth that he came for us, to change us, to save us, to lift us. That is the comfort in the story. Can't you feel that comforting blanket now? That is the beauty in the Christmas story, and that is what makes it suddenly different. Not just becoming a mother, but seeing that birth. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, lift our hearts with that joy, with that thought that we were given such a gift. Your Son Jesus, He came for us to save us from ourselves. He came in where He should never have been. The Prince, the Almighty, born in a lowly place, born to a humble servant. That's Christmas. That's what we need to remember. To remember that story like it just happened. To let those words of that story fall from our lips as sweetly and passionate as they could ever be. When somebody says, "What does Christmas mean to you?" It means that things were suddenly different. That birth saved me. Strengthen our hearts in that, Father. And I pray that this week to come, that you put people in front of each and every one of us who would suddenly and for no reason ask that question. What's Christmas mean to you? So that we may rejoice in telling them. So that our soul glorifies the Lord and our spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. Bless it upon our hearts, Father, as we go from here. Strengthen us to carry that message and to lift it up accordingly as we look toward that day when your Son is born. In Jesus' precious name, all of us said, Amen. If there is something on your need, if there is a weight on your heart, if there is a power that can be brought forth in prayer, I encourage you to come forward as we sing the last hymn. And accept prayer. And accept the strengthening.
Please stand and turn to 265, first prayer. Do the same, 1, 3, and 5.
The first of the world.
May peace be made to fall upon you. May your life be strengthened in the week to come. May you be made suddenly different. Feel it and share it. Blessings to each and every one as we depart from here today. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now and forevermore. Amen.
Don't forget to pick up your cards. Thank you.